Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifies, World of Outlaws, Arcas, all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, fame, short tracks. All the way to the high-banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, sing.
Your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, hello. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. Here on racetimeradio.com, on Sirius XM, channel 167, and more. It's great to have you along, and have we got a dynamite show lined up for you tonight. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Jr. right here in the RTR studio. He's got his Rack Hunter lid on. Nice yeah. lid there, Junior.
Well, thank you. I got some sun yesterday. Golly.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Finally, second day back to the racetrack with Rick Verburn and those guys with the 21 team, and spent a little bit of time over at Flamborough Speedway. Stood out in the sun for a tremendous amount of time, and I don't look like a ghost anymore in all the spots that get sun.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just so you know.
So, what does Ricky Verburn look like with the bridesmaid dress on?
Yeah,
not
I know.
Not a bad run. Second.
Bridesmaid.
Had the pole.
He did have, well, no, he didn't get the pole. He got, we qualified sixth.
Right.
And then,
but
and
it
then
was on the
through
pole.
An invert, got the pole.
Yeah.
It was all part of the plan. Obviously.
Yeah.
It was, no.
We're going to qualify sixth and get the pole. That's
exactly.
Whatever. Yeah, you knew it.
We knew it. But, you know, what an event yesterday. There was some amazing cars there. Everybody that was there was happy to be at the racetrack.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
there was wrecks happen. There was, you know, a couple controversial things that happened on the racetrack. You know, in the bone stock or mini stock, not mini stock, the in the pure stocks, which are like a bone stock or for fun type deal.
Right.
A strictly stock four-cylinder class. You know, there was some controversial stuff that happened on the racetrack. There was wrecks. You know, there was everything that you go to the racetrack to see.
Yeah.
All wrapped into one. Just super weird being there with no fans there.
Yeah. And
super
we're talking
weird.
About Flamborough Speedway, just so everybody knows. Flamborough Speedway, just outside of Hamilton, Ontario, did go green yesterday. It was live on GeForce TV. Those guys did a dynamite job once again.
I haven't watched it yet.
It was a great broadcast.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's awesome. Totally enjoyed it. I'll tell you what. Yesterday, I sat down at the lake right here, and what a beautiful day. Got a chance to watch the Xfinity race. We're going to hear from the winner tonight on the show. We got a chance to watch the coverage on GeForce from Flamborough Speedway to watch the Superstocks. We're going to hear from Kenny Grubb, the winner of that Superstock race. And what else did I? Oh, I listened to timscorner.ca, and Tim had the race. It was called the Burst the Bubble 150. From Petty International Raceway out in New Brunswick, with fans, I might add. And what a race. Pro Stocks on the track for the first time in 2020. And it was Jonathan Hickson from PEI going to Victory Lane. We got Jonathan on the show tonight. I caught that on...
How did that play out? Was it all like a straight 150 lap race, or was it like 150 laps divided
halfway
amongst
break.
Three classes?
No. It was,
okay, so it was a 150 lap race.
Yeah, it was 150. Now it wasn't a Pro Stock Tour race.
No,
it was a Petty race. Wayne Smith wanted to put on the Burst the Bubble 150 to open the season, and he did. Dynamite job. By all accounts, listen to Tim Terry and Dylan Langell. The two of them did a great job. They had some real trouble with their stream in the first half of it. But I'll tell you what, the second half and beyond worked perfect. Sounded
awesome.
Great. Sounded great.
When you look at the cars that were there, it may as well have been a tour race.
Oh, yeah.
It was
Darren McKinnon,
exactly.
The 18 from PEI, did a really good job. The Brad Silliker Motorsports, SMB. No, SMB. Brad. B, yeah. Siliker, S, yeah. Motorsports, M.
BSM.
There you go. The number two, Ashton Tucker, came home second. And then in the third slot was a familiar pro stock name on the East Coast, Cole Butcher.
Yeah.
Yeah. 53 had a really good run.
It's really interesting that, you know, they had fans there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a couple fans. It was a no. It was a packed house.
Yeah. And now it turns, action turns now to Speedway 660
correct.
In New Brunswick, just yep. outside of Fredericton.
Yep.
They go green next weekend, and I believe it's Pro Stocks back there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's going to be dynamite.
Now, they always have a different cast of characters at 660.
They like, do.
They have some of the...
Oblinuses
yeah.
and... Yeah.
They have... They have a decent crossover from the tour, obviously, when they have a special event.
Yeah, Lonnie Somerville will be there.
Exactly. Yep. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, who's all there for the 660 race.
Yeah. Well, then after listening to the Petty race, of course, I was hot on Cars TV, CarsTour.tv, Pit Row TV, and I queued into the action from Jennerstown. And I know you got home in time to see the second race, the
super
big one.
Race, yeah.
What a dynamite night of racing and what a service those guys provide. Tonight on the program, we got Tony Stevens going to come on. That's his service. So
yeah.
We got Tony coming on. He's been a guest of your multiple times. We're going to get him back on tonight to find out what we can look forward to. It is still a jumbled up situation with COVID-19.
Oh, 100%.
So
that the event yesterday, I do want to give a shout out to Jennerstown Speedway because, man, that the event, you know, across the border, the biggest super late model race, hands down, Snowball Derby, right?
Yep.
Snowball Derby, Snowflake 100, and then all the festivities that lead up to the Snowball Derby, you know, whether it be the modifieds, the trucks, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Biggest event, hands down. Best attended, some of the best money on the line, everything is the Snowball Derby.
Yep.
The Cars Tour has got some races that pay a lot of money.
Yeah.
And
that one paid 20 grand.
The CRA series has got a lot of races that pay a lot of money. They do a great job, both of them. But the CRA is the northern side. The Cars Tour is the southern side for super late model competition and pro late model competition. To have the two combined, that hasn't happened before.
Right.
Right? There's been pass races where there's pass and CRA.
Right.
There's been Cars Tour combined with invitationals for other divisions that have been big events. The CRA Tour and the Cars Tour combined on a single day ticket, that is a monstrous show.
Sure
and everybody talked about how it is the Snowball Derby of the North. Really, if this becomes an annual event, it's everything that the Derby offers because it's got the best big name.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
got the best and biggest names.
Bubba,
you know,
Pollard, Stephen Nassy.
Yep.
The list actually goes on.
Yeah, Matt
and
Craig
on.
And you know,
did he have a good run?
Yeah, and Trevor Knowles and the
did
list
he
goes
hit
on
hard.
And on. Yeah, exactly. And Cody Coughlin and like the list just, you know, is very stout and very deep. And it would have been, I would have said, you know, probably 35% to 40% even deeper if COVID-19
yeah.
wasn't on.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
I think it would have been, you know, it was up in the air for a while whether this event was going to actually take place. So a lot of people changed their schedules around
yeah.
or canceled it on their schedules, made other plans. You know, there was only 26 super late models there, I want to say, 24 super late models.
26.
And then there was 25 or 30, 25 or 26 CRA cars for the
yeah.
pro late model race. But a $5,000 show leading into a $20,000 show is no joke. That's a lot
yeah.
of money on the line.
Oh, and all the big names had two cars, right? They were
yeah,
in both races
exactly.
trying to go after yep. 25 grand total.
Yep.
And it was heartbreak for the guys in Michigan. I know Speed51.com had a race all lined up
and
that the government squashed.
Yeah, the local government
yeah.
Shut her down. But that being said, a bunch of those same names are going to be loading up and they're going to be making the I think it's a 9-hour drive from Pennsylvania to Wisconsin, or a 10-hour drive. But this Tuesday night, they got the Slinger Nationals, which,
right.
I mean, that's part of the magic of this event as well, is that there is a massive event leading into a massive event,
yeah.
That are back-to-back. If COVID-19 wasn't on,
right,
and this was a normal, event through the portion of the in the middle of the summer,
yeah.
There would be a tremendous amount more Southern guys, the Augie Grills of the world, and
yep.
and you know the deep Southern names from the Georgia, Alabama, you know, Florida Panhandle, that would come up, partake at Jennerstown, and then make the trek across to the Slinger Nationals. Because
right.
really, to make the trek from you know the deep South, whether it be you know South Carolina, Georgia, to Wisconsin, is a trek. Like that's a trek and a half.
Sure it is.
But
sure
if you have
is.
A stop in between for a big money show and then another race, these guys all have multiple cars. So that was part of the magic and luster behind this event and how it was all put together. I think it was a feeder for. Obviously, the Cars Tour, you know, there was some
yep.
different names that don't necessarily run the Cars Tour full time. There was lots of local guys that jumped into the CRA series from the Jennerstown area. I can't wait to see that event next year because I think there'll be 35, 40, 50 cars show
yep,
up
yep.
Down the line. So it'll be interesting to talk to Tony on how everything went. Obviously, they had a great weekend, and by all accounts, great crowd, great everything.
Even the
cool.
fireworks at the end was awesome.
My Lord, they yeah. spent a lot of money on
they
that.
They sure did. Listen, just before we hit the first break, I want to welcome a brand new supporter to Racetime
yes.
Radio. Can't thank these guys enough for coming on board. Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. Those stores, Todd, John, Colin, Robertson, thank you, gentlemen, for jumping on and supporting Racetime Radio. And welcome on behalf of everybody that tunes into this program. You're the fuel that keeps us going, and we surely do appreciate it. Napa Auto Parts Stores. New Glasgow, Antigonish, Port Hawkesbury. You're going to hear a lot about them every night, every time we key the microphone on Racetime Radio. Napa Auto Parts Stores are going to be along with us, supporting us all the way through. So you need something for your car, your truck, your auto, it's Napa Auto Parts Stores, especially out in New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury. We're going to hit this first break. When we come back, how about the winner from the ARCA, presented by Menard Series, Chandler Smith put on a clinic this past weekend. Chandler Smith from Venturini Motorsports is going to drop on by and spend some time with us right here on Racetime Radio. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started.
This is Dave McCullough, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Racetime Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
The 17 albums of all different stuff,
and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. It was, you know, we spent our own money making our records, too, you know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167, and on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
oh. Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances. Concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, SiriusXM Channel 20.
Race time radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Well, I hope you got those belts all tightened up, everybody. Welcome back to Racetime Radio. Let's get to the hotline, shall we? And let's welcome in and welcome back to Racetime Radio a driver that went out, put a clinic on at Raceway at Lucas Oil Raceway Park in the ARCA Menards Series. Let's welcome in the JBL 20 for Venturini Motorsports. We got him. We got Chandler Smith. What's going on tonight, Chandler? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm just hanging in there. How about yourself?
No, just doing super fine, man. We finally got some beautiful weather up here north of the border. We are just itching to get some racing in, and things are starting a little bit at a time. But, man, you got things firing on all cylinders. You put them to the woodshed, did you, on Friday night, Saturday night?
Yeah, man, overall, we had a really good number 20 JBL Toyota Camry. We really struggled in practice, and after practice, we found out that we had a broken right front shock. So technically, if we want to really think about it, I didn't really get any practice. We just went out there and made laps on a broke right front shock and threw the whole kitchen sink at it and didn't even change none. So I'm glad that we diagnosed that we had a broke right front shock before qualifying came around. So we did a lot of things for qualifying, went out there and got the General Tire Pole Award. And went off to ended up bringing it to victory lane. So it was a really good night there in Indianapolis. I was really proud of all my guys.
You got to love it when a plan comes together. Even when you got adversity like that, it takes a bit for everybody to stay calm, really methodically look at everything, and then go attack. And that sounds like it's exactly what you guys did.
Oh, yeah, man. And I honestly just thank God every day. I've truly been blessed in the position I've been put in my life, the talent that I'm able to drive with. I'm just, I believe everything happens for a reason and all that, and practice happened for a reason, and we went off and ended up getting the pole award and winning the race as well. It's just amazing. I love it. I love it.
Some kind of a weird year, hasn't it been so far, without fans in the grandstands? And, oh, things are starting to come along. And it's got to feel good, but it's got to feel super weird for you guys. Before you get in the car, after you get out of the car, especially when you win the race, and there's nobody across that fence, it's got to drive you crazy.
Yeah, it was weird, but at Indianapolis, we were fortunate enough that we actually had fans back, so I ended up saluting them after I got the pole award, and then after the race, I tried to interact with them a good bit.
Absolutely, it's just a different mindset, eh? When you look across the all the different spectrums, there's some racetracks with fans, there's some racetracks without. It's just everybody's itching to get back to just full on normal. Looking at Lucas Oil Raceway, have you spent much time there before? Like it's a really neat racetrack. Was this your first time there, or have you been there a couple times, Chandler?
That was my third time. The first time I went there, I finished like I got a top five finish or something like that. And the year after that, which was last year, I ended up winning it. And then this year, obviously, I won it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking at the racetrack surface, it's a track that really hasn't changed much over the years. But it races kind of similar every single time everybody goes back there. Are you noticing some bumps and stuff starting to poke through the surface over there, or is it still holding on that true outside lane?
It's still holding on, man.
Nice.
You gotta love it. Tracks with character. That's when you guys really, like the veterans, the guys that can really wheel the car. That's when you guys really shine. When you look at your stats now, 9 wins, 23 career starts. That's a pretty huge stat in ARCA Menards Racing. That's got to be something. You got to be a threat every time you jump into that 20.
Well, I appreciate that.
So what's next for you? What race have you guys got coming up? Do you get a little break now, or are you guys right back at it next weekend?
So recently just got announced I'm racing the Truck Series race with my KBM guys in the number 51 JBL Toyota Tundra Friday in Kentucky.
Oh, awesome. Mile and a half track, a real fast track. How about the number of visits there that you've done? How many times you've been to Kentucky? Do you know it?
I've never been to a half mile or a mile and a half, sorry.
So a mile and a half, like with the trucks, obviously. But you've been to a mile and a half on the...
I've never touched a mile and a half in my life.
Really?
Oh, really?
I would never have guessed that. Because you've spent a lot of time in ARCA.
I've never touched a mile and a half.
That's craziness.
Yeah, that's going to be
wild. I would have put money on that. If you said Chandler Smith raced on a mile and a half track, I would have put money on that you had.
Yeah.
That's exciting, man. That's got to be... you got to be off the chip for that.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready, man. I've done a lot of sim testing with my guys, and I think we'll be pretty good.
Absolutely. So on the sim testing side, obviously TRD's got the coolest simulation program out there. You guys spend a lot of time in there. But what kind of hours or what kind of mileage do you get on that sim time, or is it as much as you need?
Yeah, honestly, it's just we try to fit in the most sim that we can get. You know, we got to share with a bunch of other drivers, too, so we got to be considerate with them. So I get as much as I can.
So you got JBL on the car. Take us through the sponsorship support that you've got on the car. Who have you got on top of the box? I know you got a wicked team put together at Venturini there.
Yeah, so Billy Venturini is the crew chief, and the car chief is Kevin Reed Jr. But all in all, I want to thank the good man upstairs for, like I said, putting me where I am at this day and time and blessing me with all the blessings that I've had.
Well,
if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be where I am.
Yeah, well, you make the most of the opportunity, too. He'd be pretty proud of that.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome stuff. Chandler, congratulations on your 9th win in 23 kicks at the can. Good luck at the mile and a half. Kentucky, that's going to be off the hook, man. I'm going to have to tune into that one. That's going to be really good.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, and thank you for inviting me to the show.
You betcha. That's Chandler Smith. He went to victory lane. Awesome job for Chandler. 9th win, 23 starts. That's big.
I really struggle with the fact that he's never touched a mile and a half.
Yeah. 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 It's odd.
Like, I know he's a young guy, right? So there was definitely some age, you know, some age holdbacks at the beginning of his ARCA tenure, but like,
he just turned 18.
I know, he just turned 18, but yeah. It's incredible to me. I would have thought that he'd been, you know, all the way through the ARCA ranks by now. Like, it's really cool. That's neat. He's got such a huge career ahead of him. Obviously, he's got the best partners in the game, right? You know,
yeah.
With Toyota, TRD, they have a tremendous amount of faith in the kid. And he's definitely, he's a wheel man. He's, you know, I've seen Chandler Smith do some really neat stuff in race cars over the past couple of years.
Right.
And you know, obviously jumping into the 51, you know, you see everybody that rotates through that 51 truck and you got to have a lot of faith in you from the TRD camp in order to strap into that 51 truck.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Like it's the kind of the crown jewel of development programs,
yeah,
right?
When you look at opportunity,
it's
right?
A monstrous opportunity. If you go out there now, you know, I will say this about that. It's a massive opportunity, but it's also a massive amount of pressure because that is the truck that they use to go after the owner's championship, right? It's, you're almost expected to run good. You know, when you strap into any other truck in the field,
right?
It's good when you run good. If mm-hmm. you run good with the 51 and you finish eighth, well, that's not running good enough, you know? So it's a ton of pressure on the shoulders of him, but obviously he's definitely a confident individual and he can go get it.
So the 20 cars, Chandler Smith wins the race on Friday night, Lucas Oil Raceway Park, ARCA Menard Series. The 21 car, Sam Mayer,
yep.
Second place for Sammy. Back in third spot, Haley Deegan had a really good run. Taylor Gray was in the fourth spot. Fifth, Tad Moffitt. So good top five there. Good to see. And a decent car count. You got to love it when, you know, you get 20 cars out to a race. That's good.
Yeah, definitely.
It's coming.
You know, when you look at, they raced the West Series and the East Series kind of at the same time, right? So they raced Irwindale this weekend. Jesse Love, of course, went to Victory Lane with the ARCA Menards West Series, which is the old K&N, you know, West Series.
Yeah.
You know, with the whole new model, a K&N car can race with an East car. For the first couple East Series races, we've seen the likes of Bill McAnally Racing, you know, kind of make the trek over, who's kind of a staple, you know, if you will, of the West Series side. So it's been interesting. Obviously, the Super Series races or the ARCA Menard Series races overall, a very confusing setup with what they've got going.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a racer. I can usually keep track of the different series and different things like that. It's like the CRA Tour versus the Cars Tour.
Right.
I mean, to me, I'm dyslexic as the night is dark.
Yeah.
But when you look at the ARCA Series East, the ARCA Series West, and the ARCA Menard Series, it's just they need to mix it up for me. I don't know. It's kind of like what they had to do. There was you know, Winston West. And there was Busch East, right?
Yeah.
There was,
but they could compete against one another.
They could, and you can compete with a West car, you know, basically.
I like it. I like it that they've got the rules all the same now.
Well, they're not the same. It's just they've got them in the same book.
Well,
when you look at it, you know, it's.
Well, the whole idea was to amalgamate, wasn't it?
They amalgamated. It's just which one do you want to run? Right? Which
series do you want to run?
Yeah,
but
under
the
which
car
package?
Is supposed to be the same. That's what I was under the understanding.
They're not
the
identical. They're not identical. There's a different motor package that K&N brought to the table, and there's a different motor package that the ARCA series brought to the table. And with that, they're both still allowed under the same series, just they're hodgepodge together.
So does one have an advantage over
yes.
the other? Yes, a decided advantage
yes.
over the other. I got you.
So, I mean, it's kind of like, it would be like a late model series, one being a 602 and one being a 604 crate.
Wow, a big difference between the
two. So, like, which you can have. I've seen some great racing where those two are amalgamated.
Yeah.
Right? But no matter what, there's always a group that feel like they are disadvantaged.
Being slighted, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like, yeah. I mean... And it's no different than right now what you're seeing, the Red Seal crate versus the ASA style crate that, you know, they were allowed to take apart in Blueprint.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they're not allowed to touch. And then,
interesting. Doesn't it go, as soon as you're allowed to touch it, doesn't it go from being a crate engine program into more of a sealed spec engine program?
Well, no.
Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, as soon as you're allowed to touch it. Like, I mean,
you shouldn't be allowed to touch it. That's the premise of that crate engine program. Bring it in, get it from the dealer, it's sealed,
I don't think that you could ever deem the fact that anybody didn't touch it. I don't think you can ever tell that, if like even with a lie detector test.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I don't think there should be a level of trust in any form of motorsports where they look at that and they say the entire goal with motorsports is to go faster than everybody else.
Yeah.
The entire goal, no matter what.
Yes.
No holds barred.
That's why I've never called it cheating. I've always called it taking advantage.
Exactly. It's not cheating.
You got an advantage where you shouldn't have had an advantage.
No matter what, as a racer, everybody that's on the racetrack or wants to be on the racetrack wants to exploit every rule that they possibly can and not get caught and be the first one to the checkered flag and get the picture taken and get the kiss with the pretty girl.
Yep.
That's the entire point of this whole sport.
That's what you're supposed
to
do.
Now, when you look at the sealed program, when you look at a quote-unquote crate program where they have a seal on it, these guys, like, I don't know if you can tell, but these guys that work on their car every single day,
you're right,
that's all they think about is how to make it go faster.
Yeah.
Well, the easiest way to make a car go faster is to find a different seal that looks the exact same and make the engine go faster, and then have the tech guy open the hood, look at the seal, and shut the hood and say, carry on.
Right, right.
That's the easiest way to get around this ballgame. And to be honest with you, it's the craziest thing when they call it a sealed program. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And I do not, to be honest, like, I never look at a guy and say that guy's cheating. I look at a guy, like, as a member of a race team, I never look and complain that guy is cheating.
No.
If they finish in front of me, if they run faster than us, if they beat us, I never point the finger and say that guy's cheating.
No.
I say I want to beat that guy.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that 99% of the population in motorsports feel the exact same.
Right.
They point the finger and they say, I want to beat that guy.
I want to beat that guy.
Now, half the field out there will say that guy's cheating, but they won't say it to the actual sanctioning body. They're going to say it to everybody when they get back to their shop.
Yeah, yeah, and everybody they're connected with.
Exactly. And then there's a little spider web of nitpicking within the series, right?
Right.
But when I look at crate engines or anything that the series trusts the teams with, I say that is completely wrong and irresponsible for your own series.
Yeah. Well, you're only as good as your tech guy, right?
Now,
your tech guy has has more to do with the competition on that track than, you know, really the rule book.
Well,
because he's enforcing all the rules.
100% true. Yes.
Yeah. Tech guy is, he's the guy.
And with that, I've been to more races.
Yeah.
And watched guys go extremely fast in a car that I know is not as good as that other car that finished second or third.
Or fifth.
And I've said, wow, that was incredible. Like, that guy's really fast. Like, that's pretty nuts. And then it rolls into tech, and they check the heights, and they roll it across the scales, and they open the hood, and they might take a measurement or two, or they might look at the rear gear, and then
wave them on through.
Send them home.
Yeah.
Like, with
the
trophy. It's so incredible to me that...
That never happened in the old days.
We never hear about...
In the old days, those cars got blown apart at least three or four times a year.
When is the last time you heard a guy got thrown out for an illegal crate engine?
Yeah, that has been...
Now, I've heard controversy,
forever.
Right? Like, there's a controversy that's happening in the APC series right now that we never talked about. Intentionally, because I didn't want to piss anybody off.
Right.
There's a controversy happening with AP Racing Engines and the APC series here in Ontario.
Yep.
Now, there's discrepancy, and I'm not firsthand knowledge. There's never been a press release about it.
No. Nope.
We're not going to talk about it in a terrible light for either one of them.
Right.
For APC or AP Racing Engines.
Right.
But when's the last time you heard a guy got tossed for an illegal part in a crate engine?
No.
Are you telling me that every crate engine out there is legal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we've never heard about it?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
Yeah.
You know, the last guy that I remember, and it wasn't even touching the crate engine, it was an ASA program, Andrew Grizel and Brandon Watson and a bunch of guys got tossed for a compression ratio that was 0.1 too high, 0.2 too high.
Right.
Right? That was, and that was something that was caught with a whistler.
Yeah.
That was, like, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Nine years ago?
Quite a while. Quite a while.
And rockers that were stamped wrong.
Yeah.
Right? There was a big deal happening back in the day with rockers that were being stamped wrong. Now, those are all easy checks. Those are all easy things to check.
Right. They're a visual thing.
I would love to take apart 10 crate engines, 10 random crate engines at a racetrack, and you can't tell me that, that 8 of them won't be illegal.
Well,
it's incredible.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to go off on this rant, but just talking about that spec engine
program.
Well,
we're going to hit a break and then get Jonathan up, but you can finish off what you're saying.
I'm just saying that I think that crate engines are it, like the where everything's at right now is just incredible, because I think that there's so much more room for level playing fields.
Well, and it all, I go back to what I said before. It's all on the tech guy's shoulders. It all depends on what that tech guy decides to do and what he knows. And, you know, the race team's job is to get around that tech guy and that rule book.
Yes.
The tech guy's job is to make sure those guys are staying according to the rule book without going to the other side.
100%.
And a lot of the Premier Series, their tech guys are doing their homework. They're learning every year. And you got to remember, there is, what, 30 teams? 30 teams plus a whole pile of smart guys working 24/7 trying to figure out how to go around the rule book. You got one tech guy.
Yeah.
You may have two tech guys.
Yeah.
And they're limited to what their knowledge is going to be, because there ain't nobody tapping them on the shoulder saying, okay, here's how you do how this is how you check this real easy like.
No, exactly.
Because no one's going to tell them that, because chances are they're doing it.
I'm actually blown away at the lack of knowledge that even I have about the internal workings of a 604.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know the numbers.
No.
Like
neither do
I. You could look at the racing back in the day, and you ask an old racer what the best number of head was, right?
Yeah.
And what was stamped on the head.
Yep.
Right? You could ask any racer in the field, and they would be like a 441X or a 441.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And like they would know that. But I couldn't tell you what a legal number is in a 604 crate.
In a 604 crate.
And
me neither.
I bet I've been on teams that, like, I raced in 300 races, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and been competitive at every single one of them, and I couldn't tell you what's inside that engine.
No.
But it's incredible to me
that
there's a lack
of
knowledge.
9 times out of 10, the driver couldn't tell you what's inside that engine, because he took it to somebody to get it sealed.
Correct.
To get it checked.
Yeah.
Before he put it in the car, because he doesn't want to get disqualified.
Yeah.
And driver really, really, when they say, I didn't know, there's a lot of times they actually don't know.
Or they bought a crate from a guy and they bought it.
But, yeah, yeah.
But irregardless to all of that stuff, I haven't heard of a guy getting tossed out from the tech shed with a crate engine in Roughly 8 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I can guarantee you that. We're going to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to catch up with the winner of the Bust the Bubble 150 from Petty International Raceway, Jonathan Hicken from PEI, going to join us next.
This is Randy Hooker, owner of the Country View Golf Course, number 38 Chevrolet, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio
Channel 90.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Andy Ganesh, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
The NFL is on SiriusXM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers.
Let's get
and when your team isn't playing. Follow the National Football League 24-7 on Sirius XM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you close.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on Sirius XM 167.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. And we're going to go right back to the hotline. We're going to go all the way out to PEI. And this next driver, man, I'll tell you, when you say the words Petty International Raceway and you say the word Pro Stock, the number 5 has to be part of that statement. Jonathan Hicken, driver of the Chapman Brothers Chevrolet. I'll tell you what, this guy owns Petty International Raceway when it comes time for driving that Pro Stock around that track. He did it again last night on the season opener. It was the Bust the Bubble 150, and Jonathan Hicken goes to victory lane. We got him tonight on the program. Welcome back, Johnny. How you doing, buddy?
How you doing, Joe? I'm good, thanks.
Fantastic. Man, oh man, what is it about you and that racetrack? You and your crew and your Fury car, you guys are dialed in at that joint.
Oh, I love that place. Every time you went to the gate there, just you know that you got a good shot at winning that night. And I mean, with the crew that I got and the car, Fury car from King Racing, I mean, it's just it's a top-notch setup, and everything just kind of jives there. Real comfortable. Kind of feels like home to me now, and it's a great place to race.
Wait, the track feels like home, or the victory lane feels like home?
No, kind of both. Now, the track I always do to me, kind of there. I just always felt like home. Kind of a short turn, high bank type of racetrack, and a little bit of roughness to it. It's just I don't know. I've always been comfortable racing there, and we've had a lot of success over the years.
Obviously, Jonathan, you know, a driver finds something at a racetrack that really jives with him and the combination that he has under him. So there's probably something in here that you're not going to be 100% truthful on.
Yeah.
But what's your strong suit at that place? Like, what is there a specific point on the racetrack that you really, you know, make time up? Or is there you know, a place that just suits you right? Like, what is it about, like, obviously a high bank short turn racetrack is something that you really like. You've touched on that, but is there like the entrance of 3 that you make a lot of time up? Is there you know, the exit of 1 or like, where is it on the racetrack that just suits you the best? Where do you make the most time?
Actually, I think it's the entrance into turn 1, to be honest with you. It's the kind of rough rumble strips getting into 1, and I usually overshoot them, and it doesn't upset the car. If you're braking right in the middle of them, it's upsetting the car, making it too tight on entry. But I usually try to overshoot them, and you just kind of tell yourself it's going to stick, and it usually does. But it's just a rough, abrasive track, and wore out, and it just kind of suits my driving style. You're always driving. Like, there's never a real comfortable lap at Petty. I've always found it just you can just got to get up on the wheel and drive it, and I just don't mind doing that. You're always searching for a groove, and whether it's high or low, but usually on the bottom it's the best way to be, right on the curve at Petty. But last night we found ourselves searching, and we found the middle of the track with a high groove, place to go, and that's where I got all my restarts, had lane choice, and picked the outside groove, and it prevailed at the end of the night.
Some wicked competition, I might add, showed up at Petty International Raceway. When I think back, I listened to the broadcast. Tim Terry and Dylan Langell did a great job. I sat back and listened down at the lake, and, you know, hearing names like Gosby and Lonnie Somerville showed up, and he went down a lap. I couldn't believe that when Tim Terry said, I can't believe I just said Lonnie Somerville is going down a lap. You had Cole Butcher, and you had Austin Tucker, and like so many guys, Gosby's, and everybody from the tour, the 18 car. Darren McKinnon had a great top five run. It was really good to hear that there was good support at that track.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you get guys now, Austin Tucker coming in, and Cole Butcher. I mean, Cole's good wherever he goes, but just good young talent and good gear. I mean, you got Craig Swanwhite was there, and just all of those. Dave O'Blinus, I mean, he's a veteran with a few great cars. He's got good gear and lots of experience. There's no shortage of good cars, and 18 pretty decent cars, I mean, in the whole field. And I think a tenth or two covered pretty well the whole field in time trials and practice throughout the day. And you could have put a blanket over the whole field. It was a pretty tight competition all day, really.
Now, what was the atmosphere like? Obviously, we talk about atmosphere a lot. We always talk about the festival atmosphere at a racetrack. We always talk about the cool, you know, atmosphere at the IWK 250 or at the CAT 250, whatever. But this is under different circumstances. You guys, you know, just like the rest of us up here in Canada, this is the first time that the Pro Stock Tours hit the racetrack. Well, not the Pro Stock Tour, but the Pro Stock cars have hit the racetrack with fans in the grandstand. It had to be a good feeling for everybody, but what was the atmosphere like?
Oh, it was good. I mean, there was as many people as they were allowed to have there. It was a good crowd as far as that went. It was a nice day. It was a hot day. Everything just kind of went together, like you say. Everybody's just glad to get out and see some racing and be a part of it. It's been quite some time where everybody's been stuck inside and not really knowing if there was going to be any racing this summer. It was just kind of nice to get out and get the first one under our belt, and we're just going to take it week to week now and see what's next. But I believe we're going to go to Fredericton next weekend, and then to Petty again on the 18th. And as of right now, I don't know what's after that, but it really just kind of depends on this COVID-19. It's just everybody's just always kind of wondering what's next, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. With Jonathan Hicken tonight, driver the number 5 from PEI in a Pro Stock. Wins at Petty International Raceway just last night. Multi-time winner at Petty International Raceway.
At this point,
we
shouldn't call him a driver. It's pilot.
A pilot, yeah.
Pilot of the number 5.
Pilot of the number 5. Jonathan, you hit on it last night in your post-race interview that there's a lot of young guys that are in pro stocks, and they're a threat. They're a threat all the time. You got them last night, but tell me, how much of a threat are these young guys? Because they're coming.
Oh, week to week. I mean, like I say, Ashton Tucker, he kept me honest with the Mike Stevens last year. Cole Butcher, he's there. Multi-time winner in the tour, champion. I mean, he's there at every track week to week. It's just a matter of time when you're going to race door-to-door with them. It's just always there. They're good kids. They work on their stuff, and they keep their noses clean. They've learned a lot over the last 5 or 6 years, and it's fun seeing them grow. I mean, I still like racing with them. I still think that I do have it time to time, and it's just nice to beat all them young fellows pretty well hands down there, like last night. And Cole and I had a good race. The last restart, I guess, was 6 to go. He kept me honest. He'd done what he had to do on the inside. He kind of drove it in there, hoping something would work. But the two of us got a little bit sideways, and he lost a last spot, I guess. But still kept it under control and finished third. But no, it's a good hard race, and that's all I've ever wanted to do is race hard and play fair type thing. And everything just went well there last night.
So, inside or outside, as the guy that's leading the race, caution comes out. Do you take inside or do you take outside at Petty?
Outside last night. Usually the bottom is where I'd want to pick, but outside seemed to be the lane of choice that worked for us last night. So it's a little bit different feel. Not too often on the tour that we do have lane choice, but I do like the option. I think it's a lot more fair to the leader, and think that they should do more on that down the road as part of the rule package. But outside was definitely the place to be last night.
Now, I got to ask you, with changing technology, every year technology changes in these super late model cars. Pro Stock's on the east coast of Canada, but the technology changes. How reliable is that book that you guys and Andrew Hicken would keep on that number five car? How reliable is that book year to year in pulling out notes to set up for a race? Do you go by the book? Or do you got to throw it away because the technology changes?
Oh, you're always working at something. I mean, Andrew's top notch at that King Racing. I mean, they do their homework. You get to the track week in and week out on the cars. I mean, you're going to be top five on the board right out of the trailer. And you always know that you got a shot to win it. But it's one of them things. You just got to stay at it and work at it because everything's changing. All the technology, different parts and components from the car, what works and what doesn't. There's always something. But I got a good fellow on my side there with Andrew. He's always keeping everybody honest. He knows his stuff and puts together a nice jury car.
When you look at that, Jonathan, and just kind of taking a deeper dive into it, when you look at the Maritimes versus the rest of the racing world on the late model side, really, there's only a few events where you see all the top names of manufacturers represented. And I would put the Derby, I would put, you know, the race at Jukasa, you know, the race this past weekend at Jennerstown, like those style races where you have the best of the best of all the manufacturers represented. Every race in the Maritimes is like that because you have Fury, you have Port City, you have Hampke, the old Hampke, you've got Rowdy, you've got Distance, you've got Fury, obviously. You've got a whole mixture of all different types of manufacturers on the racetrack every single time that the Maritimes hit the racetrack. And really, you only see that at a few big events down in the U.S., right? If you go to a Cars Tour race, it's like there's two manufacturers represented, usually, like a normal tour race. If you go to an APC race, there's a couple guys that have different stuff, but a majority of the top half of the field have got McCall stuff. But every single time that you hit the racetrack in the Maritimes, you've got a complete mixture and all different types of backgrounds and thoughts and theories, you know, from the best names in the sport. Do you look around at the kind of the climate of late model racing and gauge where you guys are at right now a little bit?
Oh, you do. It's just like the same as anything. You always you just got to try and keep up. You got to know what's working and what's not. I mean, everybody's different. Everybody likes different stuff. I mean, half the guys that might have got in my car last night might not have made it work. You know what I mean? So it's just everybody's got different styles and different gear. You're always looking around, see what's working, see what works down south and see what works here, but as of right now, I wouldn't stray too far from a Fury car, to be honest with you. I've tried a few different cars over the years, and this is what's been working best for me. So
yeah, it's been kicking butt, guaranteed. Great to see, and great to see the success you're having. Speedway 660, as you mentioned, comes up next Saturday. You're going to head to Speedway 660. What's the five car like there?
It's been a long time since I was at Speedway 660. I'm going to say back, 8-10 years probably, the tour stopped racing there. And the last one that I do remember was 2010 at the Peterbilt 250 at that time. Run good. We run up front first and second with Johnny Clark all night. I just haven't been back. So excited to get there. Andrew's got good notes there. Him and Cassius run good all the time. Every time they go back to 660s, the 250s, they're multiple time winners, and just waiting to see what the setup works like for myself, and can't wait to get there.
Yeah,
try it out.
blow off the dust on that notebook, and you'll have to. You're heading into Lonnie Somerville, Dave Oblina's territory. I know it's going to be a battle. It's going to be awesome. Fans, if they can, want to make it to Speedway 660. Give those sponsors a hit, Jonathan. I know they mean a ton on that five car.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be able to do any of this without them. Chapman Brothers Construction, King Racing, White's Fabrication, Sandy Fogg come on board this week with Jason Carnahan, CPM, Redline Sport and Cycle. There's just so many teams. King Racing is a big, huge part of it, building the car, and always there with the notes, and just everybody that helps out. I probably missed a few. There's R. Stevens Mechanical, and just everybody helps out. It's muchly appreciated, and you definitely can't do without it. You know what kind of money it takes to do it, and it's a big commitment, and you can never do it without your sponsors.
Well, dynamite job, Jonathan Hicken. As always, congratulations on the first win of 2020 out on Canada's East Coast. Way to go. Go chase that second win. And we're going to save a seat here for the winner of next weekend's race right here on Racetime Radio. If we don't talk to you next week, we may talk to you again after the next petty race. You never know.
Yeah, I hope so.
You betcha. Jonathan, thanks so much for the time. Have a good time out there in PEI, buddy. Keep returning.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You betcha. Jonathan Hicken, always fine guest here on Racetime Radio. Great guy. I always look forward to checking in his pit when I get out to the East Coast. He's a gas.
And if any of the Pro Stock guys use that knowledge about skipping across the bumps and driving it in real deep in one, I expect a shout-out. And don't shout out to just Joe Jr. Shout out to Racetime Radio on the mic, because that's some heavy hitting information right there that Jonathan Hicken just divulged.
He did.
And I sucked it right out of him. Did you see
you
that?
Did. You
I
did
just reached
job.
Right into that notebook and I pulled it right out. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Andrew Hicken, for giving everybody a couple extra tenths.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Andrew would gladly give up a little bit of this to get a whole lot of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that big dynamite win, yeah. Guys. They really do their thing, you know?
They do.
I wonder how Corey Hall made up.
I don't know.
I got to must pull the results up and have a look. Corey Hall burned up the track in iRacing.
Yep.
We interviewed him the one night, and he said, I got my pro stock all ready to go. Can't wait to get it on the racetrack. He's going to debut it this year. Yep. And I'll tell you what, anybody that knows Corey Hall in a legend car knows the kid is just unstoppable. Yep. And he's got one of those Fury cars too. And he's a teammate to Jonathan. So I must take a look and have a peek. Can't remember hearing his name too much over the broadcast. And we also got to let Tim Terry and those guys know out there. Really appreciate the broadcast, but don't get too comfortable. Racetime Radio is coming back to that East Coast as soon as we're let back into the province. Can't wait to get back out there and bring everybody the live flag-to-flag coverage right here on Racetime Radio.
Absolutely.
Love doing those East Coast races.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, looking forward to 660, there's, like,
yeah.
Jonathan said, he hasn't spent a whole lot of time there. They've got a different cast of characters, like I said, and they usually have a full field of cars, you know, on every given night, you know, that they run pro stock cars at. I'm really looking forward to seeing who all shows up for that. And it should be a different looking race.
Oh, that's sure. Definitely Lonnie Somerville territory. I can guarantee you that. Oblinas, Max Tucker. Yeah, there's a pile of really stout cars that fly around 660 all the time. We're going to throw it back to Toronto, get you up to date on some news and highlights. Takes 90 seconds. Then Junior and I are going to be back for Hour 2 tonight, live on Racetime Radio. We still got Kenny Grubb coming up and Tony Stevens, Pit Row TV. Don't want to miss that. Lots still to come tonight, live on Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. We're back with our number two of Racetime Radio. With the two Joes here on Racetime Radio on SiriusXM 167, where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins tonight on Racetime Radio, your weekly edition of Racetime Radio. You can hear us every Sunday night right now and right here on SiriusXM Canada Talks, channel 167. Good news, Junior, we got an op back in the studio. Starting on Sunday, July the 12th.
Good.
So we will be back live on SiriusXM.
It won't be like jumping into a time machine.
That's right. It's Sunday. It's been a delay for fans over on our SiriusXM 167 channel. But the reason for that was COVID-19. We didn't have any up in the Toronto studio. So we had to do it the same way that SiriusXM NASCAR Radio was doing a lot of their shows, which was on a delay. And that's what we had to do, and we kept the content coming. It was a busy weekend. The NASCAR Xfinity Series for the first time on the road course at Indianapolis. I know you didn't see it. You were busy at Flamborough Speedway. But we do have the winner, and did see the highlights today.
Well, I watched during the lightning break today during the Brickyard 400 coverage. They actually went back and played the last five laps. Man, they were getting after it.
Yeah, cool.
It's a really neat racetrack, and to be honest with you, without COVID, I don't think that this event could have happened. Where they race the Indy cars, the Xfinity cars on the road course, and then race the Cup cars on the oval.
Tell me that's not a package. They're going to do that again in the future. You wait till they get fans in the stands. Wouldn't that be a ticket package to see IndyCar, Xfinity, and the Cup Series all on the same weekend?
Super cool package. I think they would have to take the Cup cars onto the road course just because of the way that everything works on the infield with fans there at Indy, because they actually use quite a lot of the road course for parking, for the VIP suites, and because a lot of the fans, that place holds 400,000 people, yeah. Right? It's 390,000 people that place holds. So, a lot of the fans though are actually situated on the infield of Indy. When you look at a Cup race weekend, obviously when you look at the Indy 500, the majority of fans are on the outside. But during a NASCAR weekend, they were averaging roughly 90 to 100 to 150,000 people for the Brickyard weekends. And when that is all taking place, a lot of the suites and a lot of the van activation and stuff like that happened on the infield in the past. And it used to look like a cannonball could get shot off in the grandstands and there was nobody there. Well, it was still some of the largest crowd counts that the NASCAR series would see. Just the problem is the place holds so many people.
Right.
With COVID happening, it allowed the opportunity to race the road course and the oval the same weekend. Such a cool thing for motorsports fans to see and be able to take in, just simply because of the uniqueness of the event. It was fully unique.
Chase Briscoe really got a chance of a lifetime to kiss the bricks. He won the race, but in those closing laps, he was sitting in the catbird seat, and then all of a sudden, he was back in third spot.
Yeah.
And he had to dig his way back up. He had to get by guys like A.J. Allmendinger.
Yeah.
That ain't Cindric. No easy task. Cindric.
Cindric is a phenomenal road course racer, and really doesn't get enough credit because he hasn't sat in victory lane enough. But he's always up front. Whenever the Xfinity cars, whenever any series that Cindric has raced goes to a road course, he's right up front. The one guy that really jumped out at me that ran extremely aggressive and extremely well is Noah Gregson.
Yeah, Gregson, he was sitting right there.
Gregson nailed it, man. He was right up there. He was mixing it up. Oh, he's came a very long way. You know, I remember back just a couple years back, and we had Noah Gregson in one of our Pinty's cars at CTMP getting ready for
the truck race,
and it was the May long weekend of I guess 2018. That's when it would have been.
Yep, 17 or 18.
And really, like, he hadn't spent a whole lot of time on road course racing, to go from there to running so well, you know, in the truck series at CTMP. He obviously did very well with the KBM equipment that he was in.
Yep.
And then he's ran decent in the Xfinity cars with JRM, but JRM really hasn't had a package that's been a winning package on the road course side for quite a few years.
Right.
And
since Ronnie Fellows was in the cars,
really, to be honest with you, yeah. Yep. Obviously, you know, Allgaier's had a couple of decent results in those cars at road courses, but when you look at it, nobody else really, like Tyler, or you know, when Reddick was in the car,
right.
When William Byron was in the car, those guys didn't really light the world on fire on the road course side.
Right.
You know, for him to be mixing it up for a, you know, a podium finish in the Xfinity cars on a track that really the Xfinity series has never seen before, did a wonderful job. So I don't think it's any surprise that Briscoe is running for his life right now. And Briscoe is doing a phenomenal job, and he's trying to stay in this sport, and here he is.
Well, Chase Briscoe, I got to set it up by saying that he did spend a lot of time in the simulator, a lot of thought and a lot of preparation went into this race. He really, really wanted to win it, and that simulator did play a little bit of a role. Here he is.
A little bit of both. You know, I think, for one, on the simulator, we were trying to focus on running, you know, like 93-second lap times. And yesterday in practice, we were, you know, in the 90-second lap time. So I had a lot less grip in the simulator, and I don't know what lap times we were turning today. But, you know, I felt like I was just – honestly, I try to run this – all these road courses a lot like dirt. You know, I just try to keep the thing hooked up at all times on exit. And, you know, I felt like at the Roval, that's kind of what won me the race the first time. And then now to do that here again, you know, I just feel like that's kind of – my dirt background just helps me so much on these places, especially when it's hot and slick like it was today. You know, everybody's spinning the tires and everything else, and it's all about being patient back to the gas and trying to keep the rear tires hooked up. And that's what I try to do all day and, you know, just run my pace. And I didn't do a very good job of that at the end of the race when Allmendinger was behind me. You know, when I was out front, I just kept backing the corners up so much and just saving my stuff. And I was, you know, faster that way. But when Allmendinger was behind me, I had to run so hard into the corner because he would have passed me if I didn't. That it kind of got me out of rhythm and about, you know, gave the race away getting into the last corner back there. So just can't believe I won at Indianapolis. You know, I'm glad I put as much work into it as I did. You know, I felt like I wasn't as much of a disadvantage as the other guys coming in here that didn't, you know, turn laps. And, you know, it was definitely, I think, pretty similar to the simulator. But, you know, there's still nothing like real life.
Glad that that truck that was backed up and stopped.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you could hear it beeping. But yeah. Also want to put it out to DGM, Mario Gosselin's three teams. How about that? Qualifying went real good for them. They had a car 22nd, 19th, and 20th is where those three cars started. And at the end of the day, Josh Williams didn't have the day he wanted. He was 22nd to finish up in the 92. But Preston finished in the top 10. And how about Alex Labbe with an 8th place finish? Dynamite job. And you would expect it, right, out of Alex Labbe on a road course. He did really good on the Roval. He did really good at Indy. And first time being there. So congratulations to DGM. Mario Gosselin needed a good run like that. They got it.
Yeah, they've been tearing up a lot of stuff. You know, obviously Talladega was rough on them, and you know, back-to-back, you know, a couple weekends, they destroyed a car with the Muslim's applesauce on it.
Yeah. Poor Josh.
They wrecked a lot of stuff, and a tough go for them. But really, I know that Alex Labbe has got some of the some great results on the road course side.
He does.
Like
Charlotte, and his oval program's coming so far.
I know Charlotte you know, with the Roval at Charlotte, Alex Labbe has been lighting the lamp every single time, you know, every road course that Alex Labbe touches with DGM, it seems like they come out with a top 10.
Yeah.
If not, you know, a high top 10, whether it be sixth or whatever.
Yeah.
But I still struggle calling him like a road course ringer.
Yeah. Like, 'cause he's so good on ovals too.
That's where I place his success points is ovals.
Yeah.
But yet he keeps on laying down these numbers on the road course side.
Yeah.
And really turning a lot of heads for what they're doing.
Well, we've been saying that for 3 years.
He's just so talented.
He's
all around talented. Alex Labbe has got a tremendous amount of you know, opportunity, and it just needs that push, you know.
He reminds me of a Villeneuve. He really does.
He does.
He
yeah.
does. The
but he
guy
doesn't race,
has got the potential.
He doesn't race like a blockhead like Villeneuve
no,
does.
No, he doesn't.
And
he's very respectful
that,
race.
Yeah, I say that you know, with as much respect as I can, because I think that Jacques Villeneuve is a very, very, he's a tremendous race car driver. But he, in a stock car on a road course, always turned into the villain.
And for the worst results.
Yeah. You know, he didn't turn into the villain for the lead. He turned into the villain for eighth.
Yeah.
And just did a lot of stupid things.
Not like Tagliani, eh?
No.
Tagliani would be out there running, leading, second place, leading.
Yeah.
And then someone would come along and just bonsai him and take him out.
Exactly.
And it would be the same song and dance afterwards.
Yeah.
Alex would race the guys clean, and they would just turf him.
Yeah.
Villeneuve, on the other side, if it was up to Jacques, he would have wrecked the guy to get the lead.
Exactly.
Alex doesn't have that in his DNA.
No. But Alex,
and I don't think Alex Labbe has that in his DNA either.
He doesn't. Very hard-nosed racer, but still, I do want to shine a spotlight on the fact that Alex Labbe got to where, you know, run an eighth in the Xfinity Series without nearly the opportunity on the research development and you know, testing time and simulation time that a guy like Chase Briscoe had, or a guy like Cindric had, or a guy like Allmendinger had. Like, those guys have got access to the latest and greatest of everything to do with how to figure out a new track.
Yep.
And not to slight Mario Gosselin, not to say...
No.
You know,
Mario's doing a dynamite job.
I'm saying that they do not have the resources to just say to Alex Labbe, just go and spend a week in the simulator.
Right.
He might have got Chevrolet simulation time. He might have got a little bit, and I don't know the backstory.
No,
but I can guarantee that he didn't have access to what the front seven guys that finished in front of Alex Labbe.
Yep,
he did not have access to nearly the information. Didn't have access to nearly the data, and he definitely didn't have the equipment that they have up front.
And
now,
Mario would be the first guy
to agree
with that.
So,
yeah, he would.
But that there speaks volumes at how much talent he actually has.
How much talent they all have.
How much talent the entire
team
has.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think, you know, from everybody that I've talked to, Mario doesn't employ people for a job. He employs racers to go race.
Right.
And there's a big difference there from a lot of the underfunded teams, because a lot of the underfunded teams have got people that need jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Gosselin, he hires and employs racers.
Yep.
And there's a big difference there in the sport between a guy who is there because he wants a paycheck, and there's a guy that wants a checkered flag or a picture in victory lane.
Yeah, wants to be part of the winning team, yeah.
And there's a huge difference and kind of a massive delta in the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series and the Truck Series between that. And that's why they're getting the results that they're getting.
Yeah.
And the hat needs to be taken off and kind of applauded, because they're doing a lot with a little.
Yeah, they sure are. Couple things I want to mention here. We got to congratulate Stuart Friesen. He went to victory lane at Fonda Speedway last night in his dirt car. So congratulations to Stewie getting it done on dirt. Got to congratulate our buddy Kenny Wallace getting it done at Macon. He went to victory lane, a big win for Kenny and his family. Everybody was there. Big, big day for Kenny Wallace. So send him a little shout out on Twitter. If you're on Twitter, make sure you give him a little tickle there. Jimmy Johnson, if you haven't heard this already, which you probably have, Jimmy Johnson tested positive, and it was Justin Allgaier that stepped into the 48 ride, got tied up in one on pit road at Indy. So tough way to end his first race back since 2016 in a good car. But you got to know that Jimmy is going to heal up. He'll be back. And hopefully things go real well for him.
Well, from everything that I've heard, it's not even heal up. He's got no symptoms.
No, he doesn't.
He's got,
and let's hope it stays that way and it goes away.
Let's hope he does. Yeah, it's not even about healing up. Let's hope he doesn't get any of the symptoms of it. It's really interesting. You know, obviously testing positive for it. You know, it's... But his video, I urge everybody to go check out his video.
Yeah. His posted, eyes look tired in that video.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd be stressed out, right?
Yeah, be stressed out. There's a lot riding on it, and he definitely... But how about that? That his first race missed is in his final season.
Yeah, isn't that?
You know?
He's like, going to hit victory lane before the end of the year. I got a feeling.
Yeah.
Seven-time champion. Yeah. What a way. He's got to go out with a win at some point this year. And let's hope we see JJ back in victory lane. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to switch the conversation back to Ontario, Flamborough Speedway, and Superstocks. We got the winner. His name, Kenny Grubb, drives the 36. He's going to join us on the other side of the break. Stay right there.
This is Ray Dunlap, and if you want to know what's going on in motorsports, make sure you tune in to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
The NFL is on Sirius XM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the SiriusXM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on SiriusXM NFL Radio, Channel 88.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big ball shopping.
Hey, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce.
Oh my God, I got damn.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL, sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Take it. You all the way to the track and back.
And we're back with you live tonight on Race Time Radio. Got a little kid bringing us back from that third break. Always does, and we appreciate it. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we? And let's welcome in the winner from Flamborough Speedway just last night. He drives the number 36 for Leslie Ford Motors. and Bester Forest Products. His name is Kenny Grew. What's going on, Kenny? Good job, buddy. You got her done.
Hi, Joe and Joe.
Hey, Kenny.
I let her cool there tonight. She was pretty hot in that car last day after I got out of her. So
yeah, you
a lot better, feeling a lot better tonight.
You look like a drowned rat when you got out of there. I'm not going to lie to you right now. You look like you shed a couple of pounds of sweat. That's for sure.
I had 3 bottles of water in the car last year, and they were all gone after the end of the race.
Wouldn't doubt it.
Wouldn't doubt it. Kenny, what a race. You put on an excellent performance. We watched it live on GeForce TV, and, man, you had that 36 car rotating real, real good on the exit, and you could run up high, you could run it right down low. It looked like the car was pointing wherever you wanted it to.
Yeah, we didn't do too much to the car since last year. Put new springs in the front. Brian McDonald, redone the shocks. Worked on the brakes a bit. We headed up to Sauble a couple of weeks ago for practice. Then we took it down to Flamborough the next day and practiced down there for it, and the car was pretty good. Still got a little problem with the brakes on the car. We took the car back up to Brian's today. We're working on the brakes during 100%. I had to back the corners up last day because I didn't want to overshoot the corners, but I knew... I just wanted to stay ahead of 21 far enough, so when I backed the corners up, he couldn't get at me, but I knew the car was fast getting off the corners, so we raced that way most of the day.
Yeah, well, you guys did, side by side. And I know you made contact a couple of times, you and the 21 car, incidental contact, but nevertheless, some touching side to side. It's got to be kind of scary. You don't want to knock the toe out on either car.
The car took 2 laps for it to... It pushed a little bit for the first couple laps on restart, so I really had to take it in the corners easy. I think I pushed up just a little bit and got into 21, but not too bad. But after a couple laps, the car was good. But then I didn't want to overdrive it because of the brakes. But I thank the 21 driver for he raced me clean. He must have a good spotter there. Joe Jr., were you spotting for him yesterday?
I was. And watching the race yesterday, you two raced each other how everybody should race each other. On a short track. It was really cool to watch every restart, you know, there was no crowding back and forth. There was no, he didn't turn down on you and you didn't push up and wash out into him. And as a racer, you know, obviously, you know, looking back on it, if there was a no yellow with 6 laps to go, I think that you guys, you know, he was just starting to come in and you were starting to fall back a little bit. That's when your brakes would get hot. And I think that the fans would have been in for a barn burner of a finish. And then the yellow came out and you got a chance to cool down your brakes and that was, that sealed the deal for everything. You know, you put a fork in everybody else because you were done. That car was definitely, it took off perfect for that last 6 run, but, the racing that you guys put on, people should take notes for sure because there was a lot of respect between the two, and I look forward to the next time the two are on the racetrack because I'll be tuned in for sure.
I usually try racing everybody clean. I don't like crowding, pushing guys up on restarts or moving them down, but I will. If they do it to me, then I might think about doing it. But
absolutely,
he races me clean. I race them clean, so. We keep it clean that ring.
It was really funny after the race. Rick said, you know, because he got into you down the backstretch. He drove up.
Mm-hmm.
He drove up and he gave him the bumper down the backstretch.
Yeah.
But just how Rick's got the new generation Dodge from Novotny. You've got the 5-star style body or AR body. I don't know, but the Mustang, right?
Yeah.
And Rick's like, I came off the corner down the backstretch, and he's like, I got a really good run, so he's like, I'm going to lay the bumper to him a little bit, like just to, not to wreck him, but just to lay the bumper to him. He's like, and I started driving, and all of a sudden, I was into his bumper, but I didn't feel it. And he's like, the whole bumper was just pushing in. It was like the whole car was rubber. He's like, but I didn't upset his car at all. He's like, he got me.
Yeah.
It was definitely a lot of fun to watch.
That's the only time I felt him touch the back. They thought maybe got into me. My brother thought maybe gave me a little tap a couple times before that, but I never felt it. But I felt that one.
It was a lot of fun.
then I put the hammer down for the last two or three laps. I think I've got a little distance on him.
You did, for sure.
I drove it harder after the last caution.
Yeah.
After that happened.
100%.
Kenny,
sure.
You've had good success in that 36 car. You've had the sponsorship on that machine since back, as far as I can remember, my man. And you've had good success. You really like running the Super Stock class, don't you?
Yeah, I like running that. I'm too old to move up. I'm an old timer here, so I don't act my age, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, well, that's what keeps you young.
You got lots of laps left, kiddo.
Yeah, if I act my age, I probably wouldn't be racing.
No way. You're too good at it. I can tell you that. You're from Walkerton, Ontario, I do believe, right?
Yep.
And
that's Ford Country, Walkerton. We've got Andy Smith that lives just down the road from me, and we got Ron Lipsky that lives just down the road from me. So,
and Lauren
Fast Ford's come from Walkerton, from what I hear.
And with that Bester sticker on the side, Lauren Bester was I swear the guy had shares in Ford Motor Company, because that guy that guy lived for Ford.
That's right. He used to always be a spectator, but he didn't like watching the Chevys win all the time, so he went and bought a car and got other guys to drive for him.
Yep.
Something like his son's doing today.
That's right. So after he passed away, the family business, they looked after the car, and then last year, Bruce and Jordy, they got into it and got their own car, so... And then Roy Wilkie drives it all the time.
Yeah, got to put it out to Roy Wilkie. He did have a really good run. Started at the back of that race yesterday. Worked his way into the top five. So it was a good day for Bester Forest Products all the way around.
Yeah. Roy, they just got the car done. They had it out for practice, I think, Wednesday night. That was the first time out this year for it. So Brian McDonald, he done a lot of work on that car too over the winter time. So.
Well, you got some good guys.
They work good for Roy.
You got some good guys in your corner for sure. Kenny, yep. I've known you for a really long time. Obviously, you've turned a tremendous amount of laps at Sauble Speedway, and I think every invitational that you've ever been at, I've been at too. But I want to, like, for the fans out there that don't know you, what's your backstory within the sport? Because you've spent a long time, and I had a really interesting question. Joel Robinson came over yesterday and was talking and asked, did Kenny Grube ever race a cast car back in the day? And I was like, I don't know the answer to that.
He ran Delaware.
I don't know the answer to that. And I said, I will ask tomorrow on the show. But I want to know your backstory in the sport. And then, did you race cast car?
When I first started racing, I helped Andy Smith. I helped him on his team. And then the next year, I started driving on my own in Varney for Dale Driver class. And then for quite a few years after that, I done the endurance racing.
Yep.
And then I bought a cast car off Andy Smith that Timmy Smith used to drive for that. And then I raced Delaware Friday nights and cast car sportsman.
Gotcha.
For probably about 4 years, 5 years. And then I started driving... I had took about 3 years off, and then I started driving for Lauren Bester.
Gotcha.
See, when it gets in your blood, you can't walk away for too long, can you, Kenny?
That's right. So I'd probably be at it for a few more years.
So looking at your team, obviously you've got a great group of guys that have been with you for a long time. They're staples in the pit area at any Super Stock race.
Yep.
But you've also got, you know, some friends with the Zardos.
Yep.
Lane Zardo has driven your car a handful of times at big events like
yep.
Jucasa and those styles and sat in Victory Lane with your car. That's a lot of history in short track racing right there. When you start throwing around names like Andy Schmidt, Ron Lipsky, and adding in the Zardos in there, there's definitely a lot of depth to your program, including a guy like Brian McDonald.
Yeah, Brian's been around for a long time. He helped some NASCAR teams down south for, I think, 15 years till he moved back up to Meaford maybe about 7 years ago. And then Brian's been working on the 36 car since he moved back up home.
Well, you do a dynamite job. You won the race yesterday at Flamborough Speedway. What is next for you? Do you have another race planned? Have you got wind of another one coming up, or what's your plan?
Well, got to thank John down at Flamborough Speedway and G-Force TV for putting the race on yesterday. So hopefully they got good TV time yesterday, and hopefully somebody put another one of the other tracks, Sauber or somebody, put another race on in the next month or so, so we can get out and racing again. So we'll play it by ear till another one comes up, and if one comes up, we'll go at her.
Absolutely. Great car count, I might add, yesterday at Flamborough Speedway for the Super Stucks.
And not just a good car count, a good group of cars,
good
too.
Good quality
like,
cars.
Like there was, yep. Oh, man, there was some good equipment there that rolled in through the back gate yesterday.
Yep, everybody was itching to get out.
Yeah, dynamite stuff. Kenny, this has been great catching up with you tonight. We surely appreciate it. And we want to congratulate you on the win, man. You did a dynamite job. Leslie Motors, Brad's going to sell more Fords tomorrow because of it. And
yeah,
I bet you Brucey's going to cut down more trees at Vester Forest Products because of that win.
Yeah, it is. But the all the campers need firewood. They're all opening up again. So
absolutely.
Hopefully things go good
now,
for everybody.
DJ Kennington did pass along a note. He said he wouldn't have been as nice as Ricky was. Oh man!
Maybe I might have to turn my helmet around and.
Yeah. Hey, well, all you got to say, Kenny, is they got to catch me to pass me, and they couldn't catch that Ford Mustang yesterday, buddy.
Well, he came close that one time after the last restart, and I felt him topping.
Dynamite stuff, buddy.
Uh huh. So hopefully we'll be back on the TV, on the radio, or here soon again. Hopefully we can get back and racing again.
Absolutely. You betcha, Kenny. Thanks so much for the time tonight.
And, yeah, got to thank all the guys that helped me on the team. And the Bester family.
Absolutely, my friend. You have a good one, and we'll catch up with you again.
Okay, see you later, Joe and Joe.
You betcha. Kenny Groove from Walkerton, Ontario, with the big win.
Didn't know about the cast car portion, and when he asked me that yesterday, I looked at him like he had three heads. I said, I don't know the answer to that.
Well, that was back in the days, back when I owned Sauber.
Yep.
And
Andy built that cast car.
Yep.
And I remember that like it was yesterday.
I knew Kenny from being on Andy's crew.
Yep.
And I knew Brad and all the guys from Andy's crew. Of course, Andy Schmidt, multi-time champion at Sauber, driver of the 32, also from Walkerton. And then Kenny disappeared.
Yep.
And I kind of wondered, like, where did he go?
Yep.
Randy was on the crew and Brad and all those guys. And I kind of wondered. And then I was looking one time at the results from Delaware Speedway. I seen Kenny Groob. And I thought, what the hell is he doing down at Delaware?
Yep.
He's supposed to be up here. Well, that's when he had bought that Cascar Sportsman and was running down there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, man, like on the competitor side, you know, and we've played around, you know, lots and you know, I can't emphasize how much respect both of them showed at the front. And not just both of them. I mean everybody at the front half of the pack.
Yeah.
There was rubbing. There's no question about it. It's a short track, quarter mile racetrack. There's going to be bumping, there's going to be grinding. But like there was obviously wrecks that happened in the back half of the field. But you know, you look at a name that jumps off the page yesterday, the young Tamirsma. Garrett.
Yep.
Garrett Tamirsma.
I believe.
He had the fast car
yesterday. He did.
Fastest in practice, fastest in qualifying. Got, you know, a poor invert, obviously, had to start sixth. He ran right up to fourth.
Yep.
And then he ended up getting a little bit of bumper tag where he got loose on the entrance of turn number one, washed out with only a handful of laps left, and he couldn't gather it back up. But he would have been a threat to win if he could have gained the track position. The 11 car, and to be honest with you, I can't remember the 11 car's name.
No.
He drove everybody that raced around him with complete respect.
Is that the third place finisher?
Yeah. What was?
Oh man.
Man, I'm pulling it up right now because he needs a shout out.
He sure does.
Because him and Rick Verburn.
Constellation?
Constable.
Ethan
Constable. That's it.
That's it.
And Ethan Constable, you deserve a shout out because everybody that raced around you, he raced everybody with complete respect, but aggressive, very aggressive. He would make the move, and then if the move wasn't able to complete, then he would back out of it.
And just a
phenomenal race car driver. And as well, you know, I got to give a huge shout out to the Shaw camp. Steve Cashmore races the number 27 car. That is the nicest looking super stock that I've ever seen in my life.
Very nice. Very,
Steve
very
Cashmore
nice.
In the 27 car. That car was, it's got Shaw chassis up the side.
Yep.
We've had him on the program in the past. Steve is a great guy. I've been a staple in super stock racing since, you know, probably 15 years, 20 years.
Right.
It was the first time that I've ever walked up and looked at the car. That is hands down, bar none, the nicest super stock in the province. A lot of care and dedication have went into building that thing. Didn't get the results that he wanted or deserved.
Right.
You got to give the hats off to the Shaw camp for putting that thing together.
The 46 car, and I believe it was the 07 that tunned it down in turn 3-4.
Man.
Those guys have got some work to do on their machines.
They've got a lot of work.
They got that 46. I want to say it was a 46 orange looking car.
Yeah.
Man, lost the whole side of the car.
You lost the whole side, the tail, the nose, everything.
Tough. Hey, when you work all year getting that car ready to go, you go out one race and ba-boom.
And the 07, that's actually Rick's cousin. I was glad to see him get out of that
Me
thing.
Too.
It was,
Me too.
He obviously lost the nose in that incident with the 46. Fiberglass nose just got torn off. But then he ended up touching the wall, not 100% sure on what all took place there, but going down the backstretch, lost the brakes, had zero brakes.
Yeah.
And went in from the bottom to the top, and hit nose first. And, it's not a good thing when you got to get the saws all out to load the thing.
No.
But the left rear tire wasn't touching the ground when it got set down from the tow truck. So
tough deal.
Definitely a lot of damage. Glad he's okay. Glad the safety equipment works. And you can tell that, the car was built right.
The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
100%.
They used to say that all the time on Worldwide Sports. You'd remember that if you're an old fart like me.
I'd be really old to remember that.
I'm going to hit this break, and when we come back, we're going to talk TV. We're going to talk Pit Row TV, and we're going to do it with the best, I can guarantee you. Tony Stevens is going to join us on this show. We'll talk about last night's Jennerstown mega event. The Freedom 300, and it was all live on CarsTour.tv, and we got Tony Stevens coming up on the other side of the break. We'll pick his brain, talk about last night. We'll also find out what's to come in the future on Cars TV or Cars Tour TV and Pit Road TV. Stay with us.
My name's Ryan Litt, driver of the number 07 Auto Value Super Sprint USAC Sprint Car, and I'm listening to Race Time Radio.
Got a feeling inside, can't explain a certain kind.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on and boom.
Perfect! Yeah!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We surely appreciate it. Last night, Saturday night, what a night for short track racing. Jennertown Speedway, honest to goodness, unbelievable racing. And it was all captured live on CarsTour.tv, Pit Road TV, and Tony Stevens is the man, and we got him on the hotline right now. Tony, what's going on?
Oh, literally just got back from Jennerstown not even 10 minutes ago, rolled in the door, and still we were talking all the way down here about just how good of a show it was, how everything went smoothly from a show perspective, how the racing was, like you said, fantastic. Everybody jacked up about that event and already looking forward to 2021.
But first thing I got to say is apologies. I didn't send a reminder that we were going to get you on tonight. I forgot to do that. Remembered about 30 seconds before I hit that last break.
As long as I remember to pick up my phone and have it handy, we're good. And I did. So yeah. we're all happy.
We're all good.
You forget to send a reminder about a reminder, that's a bad thing.
I know. That means I'm really losing it.
That's a lot of remembering that got forgot.
Well, the good part is now I can remind Tony to remind me because I forgot.
That's why you can.
And he remembered, so now I know who's got the brain. Tony does, not me, buddy.
So funny story. Speaking of forgetting, by the way, I'll tell you this. We joked about this right before you gave me a shout. So we had some equipment we needed for this past weekend, and of course we do the summer shootout at Charlotte with all the legend car stuff with them. And we loaded up Wednesday to go to Jennerstown. Well, Monday and Tuesday we had summer shootout, and I have a whole checklist of stuff to go through. All right, make sure we've got this. You know, a lot of the stuff we have in duplicate or triplicate or whatever. And go through this whole list, and we have some new equipment that we've been working with. Okay, got all the stuff. All right, great. Get to Jennerstown on Thursday when we start setting everything up. Got everything there. We're great. Wait, where's this piece at? It's not in that box. It's not in that bin. It's not in that case. Oh, crap. And it was about 5 minutes before the next day air cut off for one of our vendors. We had to get it ordered and got to the track on Friday. So the whole forgetful thing must be a theme for the weekend.
Oh, man. And that's tough. I know you've been a busy cat with Legend Nation. All the stuff you do, CarsTour.tv. You were a busy guy from, like, February on, really.
Yeah, pretty much. There was an unscheduled break somewhere in the middle of that. And that we weren't quite sure what to do with that, because you make all these plans and you have all these schedules laid out with everybody else's lives and what they've got going on, staffing and things like that. And it's all been turned upside down, twisted around, put in a blender and poured back out. It's been nuts. But, we've been wide open ever since about May, and things started to kick back off down here in the States. And it's been just wide open ever since. It's a good problem to have, but it's still a problem, but it's a great one to have.
Pennsylvania, wide open. Well, pretty close to wide open. A great crowd on hand last night. And the racing, oh, my God. Like the pro late model race, the super late model race. I said to Junior, he got in from Flamborough Speedway. He spotted yesterday. He got in, and Sue and I were watching the broadcast. The Pro Lights just finished, and you were just starting the Super Late Model show. I said to Junior, I can't believe how little equipment got tore up, which I was really glad to see. The racing side by side, I kind of figured was going to cause more trouble, but it didn't. It was dynamite racing.
It was fantastic, and that's something that, you know, I've said for years about that place, and really it's kind of a hidden gem up there in the mountains of Pennsylvania. For years when the ASA National Tour would go there, it was a stop in about August. The championship was starting to wind down, and people started to go about and do different things. And it maybe didn't necessarily get the spotlight it does or could now because, you know, back then cable and TNN even was still relatively new and different things, and there wasn't any other big shows that went there. Hooters Cup really helped a little bit. But again, the media then wasn't what it is now. And now, you know, all of us as race fans have a chance to see these things. And we get the privilege of kind of taking that out there to the world and delivering that message. But that racetrack is just phenomenal. It was always really good. But when Dave Wheeler paved it about 15 years ago, He put some special mix of something. In fact, we found out last night some sort of high steel slag is what he called it in the asphalt. And you can run, as you said, pretty much anywhere, side by side. Guys have grip. You don't have to move a guy out of the way. You can run anywhere on the racetrack you need to run. And every time we've been up there, that's what we've seen. We've seen fantastic racing, two, sometimes three wide. Very few incidents. You get the occasional spin here or there, and every now and then somebody has a complete, you know, brain blow up, and they end up tearing some stuff up. But generally speaking, yeah, it's wild to have a track that wide, that fast, that competitive, and you don't tear stuff up. But every time we go there, especially for the big events, it's just like that. You have a couple of slow, lazy spins somewhere, and the racing is fantastic, and everybody takes their stuff home.
Yeah, definitely. Poor Knowles. Knowles ain't taking that one home. I bet he just left that one in the parking lot. Take the tack out.
Parts of it home.
Yeah. I bet even the seat was bent in that baby.
That thing took a hit for sure. Tony.
Yeah, and if somebody's wondering what you guys are referring to, Trevor Knowles cut a tire. It appeared like 30 laps into the race in turn three, and just about sent it out of the ballpark the way he hit. It was pretty large, but that was the only piece that really tore up.
Yep. But it did get tore up.
Oh, it did. It sure did.
Glad he was okay in that whole deal. But, Tony, obviously looking at Jennerstown and talking to lots of guys that were, you know, taking part down there, the way that this whole deal came together really is kind of, you know, it has all the same complexion of what the Snowball Derby has, with all the same value to it. When you look at Cars Tour combined with CRA racing, when you look at the Derby, it's a long super late model race combined with a short sprint, if you will, of pro late model racing. The big names, if COVID wasn't there, I think everybody knows that there would have been a tremendously larger car count there. And if this thing runs, you know, into the future, which all signs point that this is going to be an annual event, this could shape into one of the crown jewels of motorsports racing in the late model ranks, in all of North America.
I would agree wholeheartedly with that. And I think with what Billy Rebar and his crew have done there with the Motor Mountain Masters, which actually is coming up in about five more weeks, that race is a pro late model race. It pays $10,000 to the winner. And last year, I think there were like 42 entries that showed up for race day, and for a field of 30. Easy races to set the field, you know, last chance racing, and same thing. Great racing came down to the last 10 laps in a side-by-side duel. And all the comments from there, guys, just we were at the PRI last year, and they said, man, we can't wait to come back. The race was so good. The atmosphere was fantastic. The place was almost literally packed out. I mean, their seats were few and far between last August. And we hope to have something similar. Obviously, COVID has changed a lot of things. But look forward to fantastic car counts for that race in 5 weeks' time. And the same comments were echoed this past weekend. You know, whether it was a Trevor Knowles or a Bubba Pollard or a Steven Nassi or, you know, Justin Kreiders and Tyler Churches, everybody all up and down pit road, they said, man, this place is wow. They couldn't have words to explain it. And the biggest thing, too, was not just the facility. They were impressed by the facility, but certainly one of the best teams in short track racing as far as the management goes. Billy and Mike and everybody there, they do a fantastic job. They go out of your way to help. Tyler Church, poor guy, broke and wasn't able to run the race, but you know, coming up there, he needed crew guys. I mean, it's a 7-hour tow from down near Charlotte for him to get to Jennerstown, and, you know, it's hard for him to find crew guys to take the weekend off. So what's Billy do? He gets out and starts calling people. Hey, can you come help this guy out? He needs this or he needs that. There's not a lot of promoters that'll do that type of stuff and pretty much give you the shirt off their back, and that is what makes that place so great. I mean, the fans are great, the facility's great, the racing's fantastic, but ultimately it comes down to the experience as a competitor and even as a fan, and I don't think you get a better one anywhere in the country, in my opinion. And I've been to a lot of different racetracks. That one, you know, certainly is top-notch in all senses of the word, and I think that's going to help make both this Thomas Automotive American Freedom 300 weekend and the Motor Mountain Masters, you know, just 5 weeks after, two of the premier events in the country for sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, without a quality broadcast, all that is a hidden secret. And now I'll tell you what, Tony Stevens, you have informed a lot of people, and I can tell you right now, there's two guys sitting right here in the studio that one day are going to make it to Jennerstown Speedway based on what we've seen last night. You did a tremendous job, you and your team. The replays were right there. Everything was spot on. You didn't miss a beat. And I'll tell you what, that was quality all the way around, a quality place and a quality broadcast. It was just a pleasure to tune in and watch what you guys do. And that's not the first time I've tuned in. I've tuned in a ton of times, but that there was kind of cool to see a racetrack that I had not seen before. And it looked really good on camera. And cool, too, last night's winner, Bubba Pollard, he sort of tipped in that he could be showing up to the big event in 5 weeks. That would be cool.
Yeah, Bubba he tossed it around this weekend that he might be making an appearance at the Motor Mountain Masters. And it wasn't just him. There were other guys. Matt Craig bought at least one set of tires to scale the car on and presumably, you know, come test on and that type of thing. So, you know, Matt might show up. Steven Nasty could show up. I mean, again, there's people talking about WOW, and they want to come there as much as they can. There were a lot of guys. There's already today a couple of guys from the JEGS Tour. They said, yeah, put our entry in the Motor Mountain Masters. I've already talked to Billy twice today about just the feedback he's got from teams and the people committing to that race. And again, this race next year, the buzz is just unbelievable. We see a lot of it. And thank you for the compliments in the broadcast as well. Our guys work long hours. They put an exceptional amount of blood, sweat, and tears into these things. And, we don't have the Fox crews of 37 and 50 and 102 people. We had, I think, all told, 9 people on site, myself included, this weekend. And that includes, you know, Lenny Baticchium, Pit Road, his son Jake doing some stuff with us, the technical director, directors, camera guys. We had less than 10 people on the property, and everybody, you know, certainly pulled their weight, did a fantastic job, and they've got a lot of passion for the sport. They want to see it portrayed in a manner that's entertaining and certainly showcases the races and the events we're at. And like I said, I couldn't ask for a better crew for sure.
We obviously seen two big names from in the sport stand in victory lane, and we've seen lots of good racing side by side. There's no better guy to ask this. Was there anybody that stood out to you as a standout that didn't necessarily get the results that they should have, but turned a lot of heads down there? There was a lot of young competitors, but was there anybody that really jumped off the page that you're like, hey, this is somebody that's upcoming?
The big one for me, I think, that really stood out. Well, there were probably two, maybe one and a half, we'll say. But the big one, I think, early especially was Chris Davidson. Chris has had flashes of brilliance at different events in the past, but he came out early and he was swinging. And you know, with the way the strategy played out, had a solid run. And he was up there in the thick of it. Nobody had anything for Bubba at the end. There's no doubt about that. I think Chris, certainly that's something he can hang his hat on. On the flip side of that, at least early, Mike Hopkins, I looked at qualifying, I'm like, what does this guy do when he ran second last year at the Masters? He's got, you know, the Port City House team behind him. What in the heck is he doing? He's like 22nd to 24 car, you know, run down here. What in the world happened? But they used their notes in the Masters, and when the track tightened up, they were boom, right to the front. So that was an early surprise for the negative, but then he came back to what I expected with a solid run. The other one I would say would be Sammy Smith, and most folks are going to say, why? He's Kyle Busch Motorsports Toyota. You got to remember, the kid was scheduled to run a bunch of races for them this year. He's never run a super late model before, you know, in that capacity until this year, and COVID hit, and he didn't get to run Harley at all. So they had, you know, brand new bodies on those cars, and they spent a couple of days up there testing and everything else. And Sammy has become a very quick learner. And I think for a name that a lot of folks may not know, he did a fantastic job. And to be in the same zip code as Bubba Pollard last night, you were certainly doing something. And watching lap times, he did his job. If he wasn't in traffic, he was mimicking Bubba almost down to the thousandth of a second.
Wow.
Just some of that experience of getting through traffic. Might be the difference to put him a little bit further back there at the end of the race. But I think he was a very pleasant surprise, and I think he's going to probably turn a few more heads before his time there at KBM's over.
Yeah. Unbelievable watching him last night. And speaking of that, the closing laps of the race, I know the guys were all going along, making their picks after that final yellow. And of course, everybody's got to take Bubba because he was out front and he was rolling. But tell me that lap car didn't almost come into play and spoil Bubba's day. I was it number 45, I think?
48.
Oh, man, it was so close with that lap car. If Bubba wasn't on his game, that car would have got smoked.
Yeah, Jeff Batten.
49.
Poor Jeff. He couldn't win for losing this weekend. He had a third link rip out of the car in qualifying, so he didn't get any any qualifying laps. They had to start tail of the field. And he's one of those low-buck, low-budget guys that he supports the tour everywhere we go. Good dude. He's a paramedic by day. So he's been dealing with a lot of stuff, obviously, in the last 3 or 4 months. But loves coming to the racetrack. And when they hit it very good. He's worked a lot with Dean Clattenburg, originally from over in Nova Scotia there, who's got his shop down here now. So Jeff's got good people behind him, and he had some stuff break and not work his way. And it almost looked like the closing... His spotter just didn't expect that closing rate to be as fast as it was, and he started to commit to the corner, and Bubba had already committed to go underneath of him, and luckily it wasn't a disaster, but it could have been very ugly.
Oh, it surely could have been. We got 2 minutes left in the show, Tony, and I want to squeeze in what is coming up on Pit Row TV and on CarsTour.tv. What do you got coming up?
We got all kinds of stuff, and we keep adding more. Next weekend on the Pit Row side, we're going to have the Southeast Super Truck, Southeast Legends Tour, all that. They'll be at Kingsport Speedway in Tennessee. The following week, 2 weeks after that, they'll be in Tri-County Speedway, which is just above Hickory, North Carolina. So we'll have a couple of broadcasts with those folks. Great little tour and series here in this region. Good racing for sure, good people around. On the Legends Nation side, we're going to have the Summer Shootout continuing throughout the summer, plus maybe some other events. So you can check those out at legendsnation.tv. And, of course, Cars Tour TV, which is our Cars Tour-specific site, 1st of August, what normally is the Throwback 276, we will still be racing at Hickory, but due to everything happening in the world, especially here in the States, we're not going to do the Throwback theme. So it'll be just a 250 twin-bill show, twin 125s for the late-mile stocks and the Supers at Hickory the 1st of August. And you guys know as well as I do, there's never a bad race at Hickory.
Never, ever. A thrilling spot to watch a race, and even better when you can sit on the couch and watch it. Best subscription you could possibly get as a short track race fan is to your service. I can guarantee you that, Tony Stevens. You do a dynamite job. We look forward to getting you back on race time, and we'll catch up with you down the road, my friend.
Well, thank you guys very much. I appreciate all you guys do up there in Canada. I keep track on things between you guys and my buddy Tim over in the Maritimes. The whole country's covered. I know what's going on, which is really cool. And I love checking out what you guys have and all the personalities you have on every week. So you guys do a great job as well up there. And glad to call you guys friends.
You want to believe it. Thanks so much, Tony. Have a good one. Get a little bit of sleep. I know you're going to be busy, my friend.
Absolutely, will do. Thank you, guys.
You betcha. Tony Stevens, you can check it out, Pit Row TV. And don't forget about CarsTour.tv. Another great, you want to see super late model racing, you want to see some awesome stuff, you got to tune into that. Get a subscription. I guarantee you it'll be worth the time and the money. Guaranteed, Jenner.
Yep, for sure. Just a great weekend all in all. Hey, racing's coming back. Racing's coming back. We're not talking about iRacing. We're not talking about any of that stuff. We're talking about True Blue Racing and more to come. Looking forward to the announcement for the NASCAR Pinty Series schedule. All adjusted up, but from all accounts, it's going to be some breaking news on that front. Looking forward to seeing what we can put together here in Ontario. Yeah. Obviously, a dark light right now, but it'll be interesting to see what all comes down the pipe.
Yeah, we need racing here in Ontario. It's scattered. GeForce TV, I believe their next event comes to you live from Humberstone. You can check them out. But that's going to do it for Junior and I tonight in the Racetime Radio studio. Got to thank Susie Q here for hooking us up with all of our guests. Got to thank all of our guests. Got to welcome Napa Auto Parts Stores from New Glasgow. Andy Ganesh and Port Hawkesbury to the program. And we got to thank Scotty back in the Toronto studio at Sirius XM. But that does it for us. We'll catch you again next Sunday night with more winners right here on Racetime Radio. Have a good one, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.